Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Mysteries.
Let me add my welcome to you. If we've not met before, my name is Rui. I work for this church as the youth worker. It is my privilege to bring us God's word this evening. Let's pray that God would help us understand his word. Father God, we give you thanks that you have given us your word. Please help us this evening to come to grips with it. Father, help us to see how this passage speaks of certainty that we can have about the Lord Jesus and his coming. Father, we've heard this story so many times. Please help us to really believe that it happened and that it is true. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's another year. It's another Christmas. So the chance to celebrate, to remember the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I wonder, as the years go by, do you ever stop to ask yourself, can we really trust this? Can we really trust the Christmas story? For many in this country, the answer is absolutely not. Sure, they grew up going to church. Maybe they went to carol services, much like the ones we're going to have here. But sometime they started questioning whether or not this was all true, whether or not what they heard about Jesus was true, and then stuff happened, and they moved away. They concluded that they couldn't believe what they've heard about Jesus. Perhaps that is the story of some of us here. Perhaps our story sounds a bit more like this. You know, I've been following Jesus all my life. I genuinely, with all my heart, believe in him. But, you know, life has happened. It's gotten in the way. Some bad things have happened. And now I'm wondering, is this really true? Is what I've heard about Jesus true? Friends, can we trust, can we really trust what we've heard about Jesus? Well, that's the question that Luke wants to address in this gospel. Look with me at chapter 1, verse 4. Luke has this dedication to his friend Theophilus, to whom he writes this gospel. And why is he writing this gospel? Chapter 1, verse 4. "That you, Theophilus, may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. Luke is writing to his friend, his dear friend, most esteemed Theophilus, to give him certainty about Jesus. And as we read his gospel, it's the same for us. We're meant to read this gospel and to be sure, to be completely convinced that yes, we really can trust what we've heard about Jesus. So as we approach our passage today, here's the question that we ought to be asking ourselves. Can we really trust what we've heard about Jesus? And particularly tonight, can we trust what we've heard about his coming? And as we will see, the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. Let's see how that's the case as we look at our passage together. And we're going to start with this, that Jesus is the promised descendant of David. He is the promised descendant of David. The passage begins with a familiar face. So verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. If you remember last week, Gabriel was the same angel that was sent by God to announce the coming of a certain John the Baptist. And now, 6 months into that pregnancy of his mum Elizabeth, Gabriel is back, and he's going to announce the coming of someone else. But look out, because this person that's coming is on a whole new level. And just notice how precise Luke is with the details here. So it's Gabriel, not just any angel, that is sent by God. And he's sent by God to a city, but not just any city. It's a city in Galilee. And more specifically, it's a city called Nazareth. And to whom does angel Gabriel go? He goes to a virgin, but not just any virgin. He goes to a virgin who's engaged to a guy called Joseph, but not just any Joseph. It just so happens that this Joseph is a descendant of King David. And remember that, because that's going to be important. Oh, and did I mention that the virgin's name is Mary? Do you see, friends, from the get-go, we have so many details. Because Luke wants us to be sure. He really wants us to have certainty. Theophilus, I am telling you the truth. No matter how crazy what I'm about to tell you sounds, it really is the truth. And so Gabriel meets Mary, and he calls her, verse 28, favored one, and claims the Lord is with you. And we might expect Mary to be super excited about this. But, verse 29, she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Mary is, number one, afraid. She's afraid. And we might find that strange. Why would she be afraid? It's an angel. Well, I think that's because we have this picture of angels as nice people in a white suit and a pair of wings and a smile. But if you go through the Bible, every time an angel shows up, people are afraid. Probably tells us that these angels might be a bit more awe-inspiring than we think. And it might say that the right response to an angel is fear, not that he's about to strike me, but reverence, because an angel is a messenger of the Lord. But number two, Mary cannot understand why someone as lowly, insignificant as her, would be greeted in this way. I mean, the equivalent to this would be medieval England. There's a peasant working the field, and the guy in a horse, a knight, shows up, comes to this peasant, kneels before them and says, the King of England pledges his absolute allegiance to you. The King sent me to tell you he is on your side. Now you have a good day. The peasant's going to think, why me? Why does the King of England pledge his allegiance to me? Who am I? Of all the people, why me? And that's the question that Mary asks herself. Of all the people to be greeted like this, why Mary? Well, Gabriel explains, verse 30, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. I mean, where do we even start? Again, Gabriel says, Mary, you are favored by God. He has shown you grace. And in what way? By receiving these news that Mary will give birth to a son who is going to literally change the world. That's what this son is going to do, change the world. After all, look at what he's like. Verse 31, his name is Jesus. And for us, that might not mean something, but in the original language, it means the Lord saves. So the angel is saying, hey, Mary, you are going to give birth to the Lord saves. Now, if that doesn't get your ear blood pumping, well, there's more to say. Verse 32, like John the Baptist, this son is going to be great, but on a whole new level. After all, John the Baptist, he is going to be called a prophet of the Most High. That's later in the chapter. But this Jesus, he will be called Son of the Most High. And sure, if you know your Bible, you know that a couple of people in the Bible are called the Son of God. Adam, he gets called Son of God. Israel is called Son of God. Every king of Israel, one of their titles is Son of God. But do you know how many people in the Bible are called Son of the Most High? You guessed it, only one person. And you're looking at him. It's this Jesus. He will be the Son of God in a unique, special way. And look again at verses 32 and 33. He will receive the throne of King David. He will reign over the house of Jacob, which is another name for Israel. In other words, he is going to rule over God's people. This son of a lowly virgin, who probably no one knows a lot about, he will be a king. But not just any king. Verse 33, he will reign forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Can you think of any human king of whom that could be said? Because I can't. And so if we put it all together, here's the full picture. Mary's son is going to be called the Lord Saves. He's going to be special in a way that no one else ever was. And he will be king over Israel, just like his ancestor David. But not just for a couple of years, but forever. Forever. Now, as parents, we would say that all of our kids are special, and we're right, all of our kids are special. But this son, a whole new level. A whole new level of special. And yet, sisters and brothers, it gets even more special. You see, this son, this Jesus, he is the fulfillment of one of the most important promises in the Old Testament. If you read the Old Testament, by the end, it ends with God promising two things. Number one, Israel, one day, I will come and I will save you. I will restore you. That's the first promise. The second is, Israel, I will do that through my special chosen king. And he is called the Messiah. Look out for him. He's going to come. And this son, this Jesus, he fulfills that second promise to a T. Let's come to one of the key places in which the Lord talks about this special king. I've put it there on the screen. So that's 2 Samuel chapter 7. And this is the prophet Nathan. He's talking on God's behalf, and he's talking to David. And the Lord makes David some incredible promises. Look at the bits highlighted. I will raise up your offspring. Whatever we want to say about this son, he's going to come about by God's intervention. I will establish his kingdom. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Your throne shall be established forever. So in summary, God is saying, David, one day I will give you a descendant that's going to rule over my people forever. And if you go back to Luke 1, that is exactly what we hear about Jesus. Verse 32, he will receive the throne of David, his ancestor. Verse 33, he will rule forever over God's people. Friends, this is an exact match. This son, this Jesus, he is the fulfillment of that promise. He really is that promised descendant of David. He is God's promised king. He is the Messiah. And do you remember the two promises from the Old Testament? The Messiah will come, and what is he going to do? He is going to save his people. That is what this Messiah, what this Jesus comes to do, to save his people. But like I said at the beginning, friends, we've heard this story many times. Many times. We've heard all about Jesus being the Messiah. We've heard about him being the special king. We've heard about him being the Savior. Probably Theophilus has heard that a lot. The question isn't so much who is Jesus, because we know who he is. The question is, can we trust what we've heard about him? Not least because, let's be honest, we live in a world that says we can't. It's all made up. Not least because there are other religions out there that say, you can't. I'm the real God. Not least because, let's be honest, following Jesus isn't easy. People are still persecuted. We still suffer because of the Lord Jesus. I mean, if this is all a lie, if this is all a made-up story, what's the point? Why do we even celebrate Christmas? Can we really trust what we've heard about Jesus? Well, in the next few verses, we'll see that we can really be sure, because nothing is impossible with God. You see, after hearing all of this, we might expect Mary to do what Zechariah did last week. In the morning service last week, Robin highlighted that Zechariah, he heard these amazing promises from God, but he just could not quite believe them. They were too good to be true. He doubted God. But Mary, she is different. Look at verse 34. Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? So do you see the difference? It is subtle. Zechariah asked, how shall I know this? In other words, God, how can I be sure that you will do what you've promised? How can I be sure? But Mary asks, okay, God, I've heard what you said. I believe you. But how? How are you going to do this? Because she does raise a valid point, doesn't she? I mean, how is Mary going to give birth to this promised descendant of David if she's a virgin? And this goes against what's often said about people in the Bible. You may have heard this before. Oh, you know, of course people believed in the resurrection and the virgin birth because people were superstitious and they believed in all sorts of crazy things. But Mary, she just shows that that's completely false. Here you have a person who completely, absolutely believes in God and yet cannot understand how she can give birth as a virgin. It's just not true that people back then were more gullible, more superstitious, so we don't have to be put off by comments like that. And in fact, this is where we see just how unique Mary's son really is. This is where we get our certainty from. So verse 35, the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, The child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. The answer to Mary's question is simple, and yet completely mind-blowing. Because somehow, someway, God is going to act on Mary, and she will become pregnant while still being a virgin. And really, that's all we can say about it. I think our temptation sometimes is to try to figure that out. How did that happen? Biologically, physiologically, how did that happen? But we can't know that. This is what we do know. God did it. But here's also what we do know. Because this son will be born in this unique way, he is going to be unique. He will be called Holy and the Son of God. Again, Son of God, a royal title, like His Majesty. But in here, the angel Gabriel, he is hinting at something even bigger. And as we go through these chapters throughout December, here's the thing that's going to be made clear for all of us. This Jesus, he is no mere human king. He is actually the Lord. He is the Lord stepping through birth into the world to save it. You know, his name, Jesus, the Lord saves, that is literal. That is the Lord saving his people. That's who Jesus is. But more on that in the weeks to come. But now we're still in a pickle, you know? And this time it's even crazier. I mean, are we really meant to believe that Jesus, this promised descendant of David, the supposed savior of the world, are we really meant to believe that he was born in this special, unique, impossible way? Is someone like Richard Dawkins right when they say that things like a virgin birth are just made up stories to convince people to believe in God? Well, look at what happens next, verse 36. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Gabriel, he gives Mary an example. The example of Elizabeth. You know, the one who was too old to have kids. You know, the one who couldn't have kids in the first place. They said it was impossible. There's no chance she could have kids. And now she is 6 months pregnant. So Mary, Theophilus, all of us here, we really can be sure that this is a true story. Crazy as it sounds, and I know it sounds crazy, but we can really be sure. We can really trust what we've heard about Jesus. And why it sounds so impossible, verse 37, nothing will be impossible with God. Friends, the truth is, if we live in a world without God, a virgin birth is impossible. In a world without God, the only person that can save us is ourselves. And if we take a look around the world, we don't seem to be on track to do that, I'm afraid. But the truth is, we don't live in a world without God. Which means a virgin birth, crazy as it sounds, impossible as it sounds, is actually possible. Why? Because nothing will be impossible with God. And the proof? The one that they said couldn't get pregnant, that Elizabeth, well, she is 6 months pregnant. How do you explain that? And because Mary trusts that this is the case, because she really trusts that God can do impossible things, she responds, verse 38, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary says, "God, I believe you. Bring it on. Bring it on. Crazy as it sounds, bring it on." I mean, what an example. What an example she is for Theophilus and for you and me. Can we really trust what we've heard about Jesus? Mary certainly thought she could, because nothing will be impossible with God. as she hears all of these amazing things, impossible things, she says, God, I believe you, bring it on. You are the kind of God who can do impossible things. What about us then? What about us? Like I said, many of us have heard this story lots of times before. Do we still believe that it's true? Do we have our doubts? If life is making us doubt Jesus, well, can I encourage us to come back to his word? Can I encourage us to come back to passages like this, to books like Luke that want to give us certainty? You know, God never says, I want your blind trust. Okay, just trust me on this. No questions asked. Just trust me. No, that's not what God does. He gives us books like Luke to give us certainty, to help us to be sure that we can really trust what we've heard about Jesus. So when we doubt, we can come back to his word. Let's come back to his word. Let's remember what the angel Gabriel said. Nothing will be impossible with God. Friends, this crazy virgin birth really did happen. Really did happen. Which means Jesus really is that Savior, that promised descendant. Ultimately, it means, friends, if we have put our trust in Jesus, we are safe. We are safe. No matter what happens in life, no matter what troubles come our way, we have this one-way ticket to paradise. Jesus bought it for us, and it's not going to go out of date. It's going to last forever, and it's going to work. It's going to work. And we will have moments where we are going to think, it is impossible for me to make it to the end. I just cannot keep going with Jesus. It's impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. We can really trust what we've heard about Jesus. We can really trust that he is going to get us to the finish line. Let's not doubt him. Let's follow Mary's example. Let's put our trust in this God who does the impossible. And if we still have doubts, let me encourage you to keep reading Luke. Let me encourage you to keep coming back to church to hear about Jesus. Let me encourage you to ask questions. Look into what the Bible says. Look into history. Chat to other Christians. Ask them, what is this all about? Help me. Help me out here. And you will see that Jesus really is who he claims to be. You will see that what you've heard about him before is true. You will see that he is the Savior of the world. He is the Lord saves. I want to end with a quote from a journalist. He's called Lee Strobel. He also doubted what he heard about Jesus. And after looking into the evidence, this is what he said in his book, The Case for Christ. The identity of Jesus was the issue on which everything turned. Was he really the unique Son of God? As I sifted through the historical data, my atheism began to buckle under the weight of the truth. And eventually, I came to the only verdict the evidence could support, that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Dear friends, can we really trust what we've heard about Jesus? The answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. Let's pray. Father, thank you that these things, impossible as they sound, really did happen. Father, thank you that our Lord, our King, really was born in this unique, impossible way. And we can really be sure of this because, Father, you are the God who does impossible things. And would you please help us to trust that this is so? Help us to have certainty. And when we do doubt, Father, help us to come back to your word. Help us to rely on one another. Help us to remember these promises that you make. And, Father, please help us to stick to the Lord Jesus as he takes us to that finish line. In his name, amen.